mind void of the true understanding of who God is. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The moral free fall in America is rooted in the same spiritual deception. We didn't like God the way He was. You know, around the turn of the century, the 7th century A.D., there was an illiterate Arab by the name of Muhammad that began preaching about a God called Allah, which he identified as the same God as revealed in the Old Testament. Allah was actually the name of the moon god that was worshipped by the ancestors of Muhammad. Allah, this God preached by Muhammad, demanded submission, not only by persuasion, but by the sword. So military conquest spread the faith of Islam from the Middle East, across northern Africa, southern Europe, Asia Minor, where the churches that the book of Revelation were written to existed, southern Asia, Persia, India, and everywhere this new faith conquered, they all but extinguished completely the Christian witness. One medieval Byzantine emperor by the name of Manuel II said, "Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things that only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread the sword by the faith he preached." This quote of this Byzantine emperor was used by Pope Benedict in a speech in 2006 at a university in Europe. It was picked up on by the media and by the worldwide Muslim community and provoked violence in the Muslim world, as if to prove the truth of what was spoken. Now, this coming Friday, our nation's capital will be hosting a Muslim National Prayer Day, with 50,000 Muslims expected on the west front of the U.S. Capitol building. Is that where we were? The west front of the U.S. Capitol building is where we went earlier this year to preach about the evils of abortion. Guess how many holiness people we had? It wasn't 50,000. Far from it. 50,000 Muslims expected on the west front of the U.S. Capitol building on Friday. Although Islam is historically and intrinsically a violent and aggressive religion, the defenders of Islam carefully cultivate a victim status. And the world holds Islam to a very different standard from what it does Judaism or Christianity. There's a website, it's called The Religion of Peace, or TROP. And they posted these phrases. I want you to get this. They posted these phrases to see if there would be any reaction from the Muslim world. This is the phrases they posted. "Muslims are the vilest of animals. Show mercy to one another, but be ruthless to Muslims. strike off the heads of Muslims as well as their fingertips. Muslim mischief makers should be murdered or crucified. Terrible things. No Muslim protested. You know why? Those phrases come from their holy book, the Quran. And they're not used about Muslims. They're used about Jews and Christians. As Christians, we recall from such language. We would protest anybody propagating such hate speech in the name of our religion. But these phrases are actually in the Muslim holy book. And they deal with the violent nature of that religion toward Jews and Christians and other unbelievers. The Muslims don't find this kind of speech to be unacceptable. It's speech given to them by their God, Allah. So this mindset has led to Islamic terrorists carrying out more than 14,083 attacks since 9/11. 14,000 since 9/11. Now, I've said all that to say this. Does it matter what kind of God you worship? The well-being of both body and soul. Listen to me now. The well-being of both body and soul hang in the balances in the Western world. Islam openly boasts they will dominate. They will conquer. And who's going to stop them? The politicians? Ha! It isn't politically correct to stand against the doctrines of Islam. Look at what happened to Wilders, the Danish politician who dared to confront Islam in his country, banned from entering the United Kingdom, an outcast in his own country, bears the stigma of being a racist. Will the politician stop it? No. What good is a lukewarm church in the face of a revived Islam? Can a lukewarm church stop the error that's being propagated in this country? You know it can't. It has no interest in stopping it. Then what hope does America have? I'll tell you where our hope is. It's in a revived church that recaptures the truth and burns with the fire of the Holy Ghost, and loves Muslims, and loves a lost and dying world, and says, look, we're not going to sit back and let error capture the minds and hearts of our people and take them to hell and destroy their lives. But we're going to preach the truth. We're going to hold up the name of Jesus. We're going to give glory unto God. We're not going to let the world forget how that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. This is our hope. First of all, that the church be filled with the power of God. For my text says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here is what we've got to have in order to stand against the policies of hell in our day, we must have the power of God. Did you know that Muhammad did no miracles, but Jesus Christ opened blinded eyes, made the lame to walk, raised the dead back to life? Did you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all power in heaven and in earth? And the Church of Jesus Christ has been given the power of the Holy Ghost, and God wants us to live in that power and exercise that power, and God's name will be glorified. We must be filled with the power of God. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The Christian faith has not been spread by the sword. It's been spread by the love of God. It's been spread by the preaching of the truth. God has chosen to save the world through the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. Was it the Apostle Paul said, "When I came to you in weakness and fear and trembling. But I came to you determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What did Paul preach? He said, "I preached to you the cross. It was foolishness unto the Gentiles, a stumbling block to the Jews, but unto us which believe, it is the power of God." The power of God is the answer. The power of God operating in the people of God is the answer. "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be witnesses unto me because of the power of God working in you." Do we need an argument? We must be able to present the principles of Christianity in a reasonable manner. But an argument is not all we need. We must have something beyond just merely a reasonable argument. We must have the power of God in our lives. Secondly, we must never forget that our principal purpose in life is to bring glory to God, the true and living God, to honor His Son, to honor the sacrifice He made, to honor what God has done for us in our lives. This is our principal purpose in life. We're to give God honor and glory. This is what He said in my text. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Don't think you're going to heaven and give glory to God in heaven when you never give glory to Him on earth. Where are we going to give glory to God? We're going to give glory to God in our families. This is where we're going to give glory to God. Our children are going to be taught about God. They're not just going to be taught about God. They will see God active in our lives and in our homes. We're going to remind them of the times that God came by, healed us when we were sick. We're going to remind them of the times that God came by when the cupboard was empty and God put food in the cupboard. We're going to remind them of the times when crisis came into our life and God definitely heard and answered prayer. We're going to glorify God in our homes and families. We're going to glorify God in our churches. The next time I say, "Has anybody in this place got a testimony?" I don't want to wait 5 seconds. Do you hear me? I said, I don't want to wait 5 seconds. I want somebody on their feet saying, "Look, God's been good to me. And I want to tell you what God's done in my life." My God wants to stir us up, saints of God, because we've got something to tell. The world knows nothing about it. God's been good to us, and we're to give glory to God. In our homes, in our churches, in our workplace, in our school, wherever we mix and mingle with people, we're to lift up the name of Jesus and give glory and honor to God. I'm telling you, There's nobody in all of human history like Jesus Christ. I stood at the bars of the prison looking into the face of a Muslim boy full of hatred toward white people. And I told him the Bible and he told me the Koran. And I saw I was getting nowhere with my arguments. And I said, "Hey, sir, I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me." I told him how I was lost, going to hell, how my heart was full of hatred and sin, how God sought me and found me and saved me at an old-fashioned altar. I told him how, when I got up from the altar, that God had cleansed my heart from all of that hatred, filled my heart with the love of God. I said, "When I got out of that altar, I loved everybody on the face of the earth." How could you do that? Because it's God's love put in you. And God so loved the world. When I got through testifying to that boy and I felt the Holy Ghost while I was testifying to him, when I got through testifying to him, he just stood there and looked at me wide-eyed. He finally said, "I don't know if I'm using my religion right or not, but," he said, "it never has done that for me." And I said, "Sir, it can't do that for you, but Jesus Christ can do that for you." Years ago, I heard a testimony of a Southern Baptist preacher who was working in a Muslim country as a missionary. He worked there for some time, saw no fruit. It's a very difficult area to work in. He began to pray, fast and pray. The people, he didn't have any church congregation to amount to anything, but those that he did, his family, they began to fast and to pray for God to give them a breakthrough. He would go and talk to the Muslims and tell them about Jesus. And the Muslims, of course, believed that Jesus was a prophet, a great prophet. And so they would invite him to come down to their mosque and pray for them in the name of Jesus. He would go. They would call him up. They would have him pray for them in the name of Jesus. One day they got him there in the synagogue. They call him up. "We want you to come and pray for us in the name of Jesus." He walks up. When he does, there's a Muslim man in the congregation stands up with a crippled child in his arms, walks to the front of the building where the pastor is standing getting ready to pray. He says to the pastor, "Pastor, can your Jesus make my little girl walk again?" Missionary said, "Of course he can. Jesus can make your little girl walk again." He said, "Pastor, would you mind praying for my little daughter in the name of Jesus that she'd walk again?" He said he was taken aback. He's in front of this unbelieving congregation. And this man is asking him sincerely, "Would you pray that your Jesus would make my little daughter walk again?" He said, "Well, yes, I will." And so he said, "Before I prayed for the little girl, I prayed under my breath. I said, 'Jesus, if you have ever heard me before, hear me now. hear me now. He laid his hands on that little girl that had never walked. He prayed before that congregation in the name of Jesus that that little girl would be able to walk. He said he got through praying. He looked down at that little girl and he could see no change. The man looked disappointed, thanked the pastor, went back to his seat and sat down. When he got back to his seat and sat down, all of a sudden, that little girl jumped out of his lap and went running up through that mosque, and the whole place saw that Jesus Christ had made that little girl whole in the sight of all of those people. The Muslim preacher got saved. People in that congregation got saved and became believers in Jesus Christ. Isn't this the witness we're to bring to Jesus? We're to bring to the world a reality. Jesus Christ is real. His power is real. He does hear and answer prayer. And we're to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. While Sister Judy comes to the piano, I want to ask you a question. Is the Lord getting glory out of your life? Are you part of that people that's bringing glory to the name of the Lord by how you live? By the things you say, is Jesus being glorified in your life? This is the function of the people of God. This is the defense of our nation. Did you hear me? This is the defense of our nation. This is the defense of the Church of Jesus Christ, that we give glory to the name of the Lord. I want us to stand together this morning. If you have not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ, it's long past due in your life. If you've been living your life for yourself, not considering the kingdom of God, not considering the future of your children, not considering the future of your country, just living life for yourself. Not for the glory of God. Not to bring honor to the Son of God. Your life is not marked by prayer, by study of the Word of God, by bending in the presence of the Lord and saying, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus wants to change directions of lives in this service. I'm telling you, Jesus is real. His power is real. He has life-changing power in His blood this very morning. And if you'll come to this altar and you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sins, He said if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if there's anybody here without Christ, Jesus wants to save you this morning. And if there's anybody in this place that you're concerned enough about the direction of our country, about the direction of the church in general, and you'd say, God, make me what I need to be in this time that we live in, that I can bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord. While we wait just a few moments, altars are open. Somebody needs the Lord. My desire to live. that your desire
it
can be fulfilled in Jesus.
It's my desire.
Jesus will help us.
To live for him.
Some are coming. Others need to come.